look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, it is Saturday evening. We got Bumgarner and Miles Michaelis today. Bruce Jenkins joined us. Bruce, how are you?
Good, Marty. What's going on?
Well, interesting. The Cardinals play baseball in this ballpark like I wish the Giants could. They hit the ball all over the place last night. Eight singles, two doubles, a couple of triples, three homers. The bullpen was good, and they thrashed the Giants last night.
Yeah, it's tough to know what to make of Pomerantz. He'll throw just a tremendous game and then come back with something like this where he doesn't have the command. It's a little bit maddening. And, of course, Goldschmidt is betting 1,000 against anybody who ever pitched for the Giants. He had a history against Pomerantz already, and now he gets him in this ballpark. So, you know, that's not going to go well. But he could switch around tonight just as easily.
Yeah. Yeah, they were playing good baseball down in San Diego.
Yeah.
You catch a lot of that series, Bruce?
Which series?
The San Diego series.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was tremendous. I mean, the bats broke out, and, you know, all these young guys, they're starting to get some clarity, and, you know, some of these guys can actually play after all the revolving door stuff they've had. And, you know, Dickerson just completely raking right through last night, and a lot of interesting things are happening.
Bruce, you wrote a beautiful story about Mike Kruko, and I of course, read it online, and I get the paper, too. But it was just gorgeous and just really took just the heart to write it about Mike and his struggle and his service friend, the dog. And honestly, the whole thing, I just started reading it, and you know the comments you got, tears in people's eyes, but you really captured it, and I'd love to get your thoughts about it.
No, I really appreciate that. It was a really gratifying story to write. I talked to him a couple months ago because I heard about this dog, and we figured we wouldn't write it until the Warriors madness calmed down and was more, you know, baseball kind of climate. But my wife and I are big dog people, and we really wanted to meet this dog. So we got up to the Kruko's apartment, and the dog's there, and he quickly showed me one of the things he does for people, and that's to climb right up on you and just camp out and kind of melt into your body. And I'm just thinking, God, this is unbelievable. You know, such a great thing. And Mike laid it all out, what exactly the dog does for him. Basically, Mike gets a ride to and from the park in a golf cart wherever he is, and that's never a problem. And he has an apartment right near the ballpark, aside from his home in Reno. But when he's out, with his cane at the Costco or restaurant, he has a tremendous fear of bumping into people because his legs are in such bad shape. He just goes right down, and he's taken some really bad falls. And once he heard about service dogs, he wound up with this dog that is trained to basically stay between Kruko and people. You know, not in a threatening way. He's just there. It's to where you can't actually touch him. And, you know, people are always wanting to shake his hand and slap him on the back and whatever, give him a hug. And that's always dangerous. Kruko's got all this anxiety about stuff like that. So the dog is just a really calming influence. And when Kruko gets back from the park, it often takes the dog with him. He just has this friend, this tremendously comforting friend whose sole job is to make Mike feel good and safe.
Well, Bruce, being a dog guy, you know that's the best part of having a dog is when you get home after an SE day.
Yeah.
You know, the dog doesn't know how bad your day was. He's the same guy.
Yeah, dog's loyalty never wavers. It's true. And this one's a real gem, I'll tell you.
And a great name, Patriot.
Yeah, most of the service dogs, especially the ones where he was looking, were, you know, they're all named after, there's probably one named General MacArthur and Robert E. Lee, and but, you know, Major and General and stuff like that.
You know, it's funny, and the story was online as well, right, Bruce?
I'm sure. It was online. I think it's going to run in the paper tomorrow.
Oh, good, because it's funny because I get the paper and I didn't see it, and then all of a sudden I saw everything on Twitter and I read it on online. So
yeah,
it'll be in the paper tomorrow.
Quite a bit,
good.
Yeah.
Okay, but the part I'd want to bring up and about Mike, the courage of Mike Kruko, and I want to say we sort of take it for granted. That he's there every day and with the spirit that he has. And then you read the article and listen to what he struggles with, you'd never know it.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's such a chore for him to, I mean, like go upstairs or try to negotiate going downstairs, because he's really all of his strength that he has left is in his arms. And you know, this is a guy who was a tremendous athlete. Almost any sport he was really good at, and loved to play them all as long as he could, well into his adult years. And you know, he has a tremendous problem. He really can't work in the Oakland press box, because it's too difficult to get down to where you sit. He had to rule out Denver this year. He had to rule out Chicago a couple years ago, because that's in that ancient place. It was a real chore. And you see him all of a sudden in his vulnerable state, and you realize what bad shape he's in. And it's just amazing. I mean, not only on the air is he just unfailingly aware and funny and bright and informative, but you know, in casual settings too, he's moving awful slow. But he will never show you a trace of discouragement or
weakness. Weakness.
Yeah, never. Weakness. Yeah. And that's such a great thing for anyone to see.
Boy, I agree with you 100%. Oh, good. So it'll be in the paper tomorrow, and of course, I saw it online. Well, great job, Bruce. As always, you touched the heart, so you did a great job with that one. I really enjoyed it. Let's talk a little bit of baseball. I got into this earlier today. A couple of things. Number one, I think I've seen enough of Pomerantz, and and look, he's a veteran, and he had to fire himself up last night after the performance. Said, "Gee, maybe I better get angry when I'm out there." Mm-hmm. Hello, you're 30,
yeah,
you're making
that
a million.
That shouldn't have to be. Yeah, that should be obvious. Yeah.
So that's number one. There should be someone in the organization to take the innings. But the other thing is, Adam and I talked about it today. There's such a trend in baseball to say, "Well, if we can't win the division, and we only have a shot at the wild card, we're not really going to go all in." And I think that's a disservice to fans and just to baseball in general. Your job is to go all in. Your job is to do everything you can. You're charging money. It's a business. You squeeze every nickel out of people. If you're a baseball team, I think you have an obligation to go all in and make as many deals as you can to win this year, even if it is just a wild card.
Yeah, I think they're showing that they're definitely out to win. They have a great record in one-run games. When things get tight, they play really tough. They've played most of the teams in the league pretty tough, despite their record. You see them against the Dodgers or whoever, and they're playing them straight up. They obviously have a lot of work to do and a lot of moves to make, but with Pomerantz, it's a big contrast between watching him as opposed to a guy like Sean Anderson. His competitiveness comes right through the screen, the television screen, if you're watching at home. He just goes after it. Bumgarner, Samardzija, and it's just what you kind of want to see from a pitcher. And, Pomerantz is kind of the opposite of that, and it's contrary to what they're trying to do. I mean, you can just tell in the dugout, these guys are thrilled to be making some noise coming out of the doldrums. And they certainly aren't tanking, and I don't think, as far as the way the team is being run, I mean, realistically, they're not going to win the whole thing, but, I mean, you've been saying since the beginning of the season to watch out in the standings because they're getting closer, and I kept saying, oh, this is not going to happen, but they are getting a little bit close now. It's interesting.
Yeah, I'm on the island. You know that. I'm on the island by myself.
But I think with teams like the Giants versus a team like the Cardinals, the Cardinals are in a situation where they could make a move and get into it. The Giants are in this position where they're kind of finding themselves not that far out of it, but everybody else is involved too.
Well, and the Giants are trying to get a handle on an organization that's in transition.
Right. Yeah.
The Cardinals are not. The Cardinals are in it. And if I'm the Cardinals, and I'm a Cardinal fan, I say, yeah, go for it. I don't care if it's just a wild card. We want to win, and that's
well. You
that's
know,
the
you know, the
thing.
Cardinals are always going to go for it. I can't remember the last time they were bad, at least for more than 1 year. They're always good. It's uncanny, and they're playing over 500 ball, and they've got all kinds of good ball players. Wong and Bader, and it's a fun Molina. It's a fun team to watch, I think. But,
yeah, I loved it. I loved it last night. I said this is the way the Giants have to play: go first to third.
Yeah.
And, good infield defense, but they put the ball all over the park, all over the park, and that's what I liked last night. Bruce, July 4th is now passed by a couple of days, obviously, but it's still a marker in a baseball season. And I know you may not have all the standings in front of you, but just some of your thoughts about any teams that you'd like to comment on as we go through July 4th.
Well, the Dodgers are really pretty unbelievable. They're talking about them being their best team since they won it all in 88. And to me, they're a way better team than that, at least in terms of hitting. They're 60-30, I think, something like that.
Yes,
and
they are.
But the way they win, I mean, when they get walk-off homers from three different rookies in three straight nights, you start to think, you know, this is kind of going their way. You know, that race is definitely over. And I'm really enjoying the, aside from the Cardinals, you know, the Cubs have so many guys who are really entertaining, you know, Baez and Rizzo and Contreras. You know, they're really fun to watch. They're a live wire team, and they're getting back to where they were. You know, the idea of them going up against the Brewers with Yelich and all the big sticks that they have, you know, Josh Hader coming out of the pen is awfully enticing. And in the East, the Phillies have gotten back on track, which is great. They're way too good to not be. They're getting some big hits from Bryce Harper. And I've liked the resurrection of Washington, too. I mean, Dave Martinez was kind of a dead man walking about a month ago, and all of a sudden they're over 500, you know, with Rendon and Zimmerman and Trey Turner and Soto and Robles, you know, such talent. There's just the thing that always blows me away is there's just so much talent around. And then you have Atlanta leading that division by six games with all the young guys that they have. So, you know, you can almost see the playoffs coming in a way. You don't really know about the wild card, but you know that the Braves and the Dodgers are going to be there. Maybe the Brewers and the Cubs, but very very invigorating. American League's a little bit more clear cut, I think. I don't know if the Yanks are going to be caught. Minnesota. I mean,
who's going to catch the Yanks? Come on.
Yeah, Minnesota's at the point where their stats are no longer a novelty. I mean, they've hit more homers at this stage, I think, than any team ever. Is that
they're
right?
They're
yeah.
on a pace.
Yeah, I mean,
get ready. You know, it's almost like a Saturday Night Live skit. They're on a pace for 320 home runs. I mean, come on.
And when you watch them, it just makes perfect sense. I mean, Rosario and Kepler and Sano and Buxton, you know, that's a really good team.
C.J. Cronin at 17, he just went on the IL.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
What do teams like that do? Like, you look at the Dodgers the last couple of years, they went on these runs, but then they went out and they got, they went added a starting pitcher. They went added Manny Machado. They looked like they were maybe going to win the World Series anyway. We're talking about teams on the verge of getting in, but what about the teams at the top?
Well, what about them?
Like, what, do they make moves? Do they go add pieces? What does a team like the Twins do?
Well, the Twins, I mean, they snuck up on people with a lot of, I wouldn't say low-budget moves, but moves that weren't necessarily, got a lot of attention. You know, I think it's really big that Buxton, who was the number one prospect in the country and looked like kind of a wash, is completely emerged. You know, they get a guy like Sano, who hits the long ball. Kepler's an excellent outfielder. Their pitchers come together. Berrios is totally exciting, and it's just it's sort of like, you know, when the Giants came onto the scene, they had a bunch of guys arriving at once, and, you know, and people hadn't heard of a lot of them, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys are really good, you know, guys that they drafted, and it's generally you know, more of a steady, I always like the steady sort of homegrown process rather than just signing every free agent inside and see what happens, and you get both of these in the bigs. But I mean, Houston's the same way on top in the East. The way they've developed their team is just sensational, and even with they've had so many injuries to key people this year, and they're still playing like 620 ball or something like that. So, you know, it takes a lot of smarts, and as we've seen, it doesn't take a whole lot. I mean, you know, for Giants fans wondering if this is ever going to turn around, you know, when you look at where Houston and Minnesota were just recently, a couple, 3 years ago, you realize what can happen.
It doesn't take much.
Right.
I'll tell you another thing. The bullpens are getting chewed up. It's only July. Wait till another 6 weeks. These bullpen guys are totally chewed up. People need bullpen guys. Good starting pitching is going to become more important because you're not going to be able to work the bullpen to death.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that. And the home run derby on Monday night, someone's going to hit a ball 590 feet. I'm telling you.
Why not?
They're hitting 460 now, and you know the ball is going to be grooved, and you know the ball is going to be even juiced up more. I'm telling you, I'm predicting this right now, you're going to see 550 feet.
Definitely over 500. I'll give you that. Yeah, maybe so. Who knows? I mean,
why not?
Yeah, some guy hits a pop fly to right. Well, that was 438. With you know.
Well, that's what we're looking at now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that'll probably be a microcosm of what we've seen.
We've never seen a season like this. I tell you, and you and I are going to go through this, of course, the whole year. We've never seen a season like this where the home run has been so dramatic, and the pitching is going to get just walloped as we go through the summer.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to hear these guys come up from AAA where for the first time they're using the big league ball, and it's the same kind of thing. They're just, like, getting destroyed down there, you know. And it's all very telling. It's a little much for me. I think we agree on that. You get tired of seeing routine balls with no leverage behind them whatsoever go out of the park. But at the same time, you know, you watch guys like, Hunter Renfroe and there's so many guys I can't even there's like hundreds of guys it seems like young hitters Franmil Reyes just yanking the ball. Gary Sanchez hitting these massive home runs. Judge is back now and Stanton will be back, and it's just everywhere you look. Acuna everywhere with the Giants, I guess.
people like it. Look, everyone's excited about Dickerson. You know, he hit it on the tin last night and ended up in McCovey Cove.
his power is astounding. I mean, he really, there's nothing accidental about that guy. He's raking. It's great to see.
Yeah, people come out here, they want to see home runs. They do.
Yeah.
And look, Martinez hit one up over the Kale Garden. Goldschmidt hit one way up there last night. People, even though it's a Cardinal, people come out to see the long ball. That's what baseball's turned into.
Yeah, and well, the great thing about seeing a game at Oracle where the home runs are flying is that they're almost all legit, and it feels like the old days when everyone seemed very well earned, as opposed to what the hell was that? There aren't any cheapies there.
Yeah, one last thought for you, Joe Panik. I think he leads the league in hitting the ball like 419 feet. I mean, this guy is just raking it into the alley,
into the gap,
right? Every night.
Yeah, next year he'll be in the home run crowd if they bring the fence in. Like all indications are that they'll do that. So, I'm starting to be okay with that. I love the park, and it's if they do that, it's really not going to. It changes one region of the park. It's not like the entire place is being refigured, and I think it's going to work out good.
How about that though? More home runs the Twins right now. You said 165 home runs right now before the All Star break, and we're talking about moving the fences in at Oracle Park.
Yeah.
By the way. Last time the Giants did that was 2004. Was the last time they had something.
We've got a singular experience here, and I guess they've come up with a song to chase away the seagulls too. So that's another thing we've got on everybody else.
Yeah, I think I heard that one.
Yeah.
All right, what a night! All right, have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is the great Bruce Jenkins. More coming up on the Sports Leader.